Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We have a good message coming up for you in just a minute. First, I want to give you an update on what's going on here in the Africa Mission. We're preparing the children to go back to school here in about a week, and so we're requesting school fees. We need about $1,000 to $2,000 to get these children back in school. Most of them are going to a local Catholic school. It's about the only alternative in this area. The public schools are very poor, and so we're going to send them to a local Catholic school. But we know that they will be protected, they will be instructed and taken care of. But we request that you would come alongside if you want to help put these children in school. Stay tuned for the contact information at the end of this broadcast, and you can help put these children back in school and help them get an education, so when they get out, when they get out of their school life, they can take responsibility for their life, they can have some means of employment. And so that would be a wonderful thing if you could come alongside us and help with that situation. Other than that, the church is going well. We don't have any crusades planned. We're talking with a group over in Arusha, Tanzania. And in the northern part of Tanzania, we're talking with a group of pastors over there. And that may be happening in June or July. So stay tuned for more information on that. Well, today we're going to be finishing up our study from the book of Jonah. And Jonah, as everyone knows, if you've been with us or if you've read the book yourself, you know he was in rebellion. God called him to go to Nineveh and preach. And Jonah went the other way. He went to Tarshish and he got in a state of rebellion. And finally, the boat that he was on, the sailors threw Jonah overboard. And God appointed a fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah then was in the sea for 3 days and three nights, and he actually died inside that great whale, and his soul went down to hell, his soul went down to the depths of the base of the mountains in the sea, and then the Lord resurrected him. When Jonah repented and turned from his rebellious ways, then the Lord resurrected him, and the fish spit him out onto the shore, and then Jonah went to Nineveh just as the Lord had instructed him the first time when Jonah was in rebellion. And so now we're at the end of chapter 3 when the people of Nineveh have actually heard the message. They've received the message. They have repented. They've turned from their wicked ways. Even the livestock were fasting, and all the people were fasting at the request of the king. And so all the people repented. All the people turned to the Lord and received the message that Jonah had given them, which was to repent and turn from their wicked ways. And so I'm going to go here in verse 10, the final verse of chapter 3. And then God saw their works. This is after they received the message of Jonah. God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And so that's God's wish, beloved, for every person who receives the gospel. That's God's wish for every person who has never heard the gospel, that they hear the gospel and that they receive the gospel, that they turn from their evil, wicked ways, and that then God will repent or relent from his plan of disaster that he has for them. He has a plan of mercy. He has a plan of grace for every single person. And so that is God's plan. And so we're going to start now in chapter 4. And just let me say here that God's plan is for every single person on the face of the earth. And that's what this chapter is all about. It's all about evangelism. It's all about God's plan for every lost person. It's about God's plan for every lost person out in the jungle. And we always think of the jungle. We think of maybe deep in Congo or deep in Malawi or deep in interior Africa or maybe down in South America on the Amazon River. We always think of somebody who is so remote that they have never heard the truth of the gospel. They never heard the words preached about the message of Jesus Christ. And there are people like that. There are people here in Africa, even actually not too far from me in Kenya, who have probably not heard the truth of the gospel. But there are certainly people in interior Africa, many tribes that have not heard the truth of the gospel. And so this message today is all about evangelism and where you stand. Beloved, those of you who are listening to me today, where you stand in your desire to see these people come to know the Lord Jesus. And that's a measure of your faith. It's a measure of your passion, your commitment in your Christian walk. Where do you stand in your desire to see these people come to know the Lord, to see these people receive salvation, receive the good news of the gospel? And so that's what this message is about today. It's all about Jonah and his attitude in sharing the good news of the gospel. And so we all have an attitude about it. We all have a worldview about it. We all have some ideas about evangelism. And God's going to explain it to Jonah so that Jonah understands it. And this is a pretty amazing chapter, really, because Jonah's reaction is probably not too good, but it's very similar to the way many of us would react to the Lord in this same situation. So we'll start in verse 1, chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Well, what displeased Jonah? It displeased Jonah that all of these people of Nineveh turned from their evil ways, and God gave them salvation. God relented from the disaster that he had spoken over them. And so you may ask, well, why in the world would it displease Jonah? Well, wasn't this the plan of God? Why wasn't Jonah in agreement with the plan of God? Well, it says that Jonah became exceedingly angry. In other words, he was mad at God for all of these people who came to know about God's plan of salvation. And so he prayed to the Lord, verse 2, and he said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And so Jonah is so angry, he's so messed up in his mind that he is angry at God. And he said, "God, I knew this is what was going to happen, that these people that were full of sin, these people that were full of iniquity, these people that had no right to salvation because of their wickedness, that because of your loving kindness, God, that they would come to know you and they would repent of their evil ways." Well, this is so twisted, but many people have the same attitude about salvation for those who they deem to be not worthy of salvation. One of the characteristics, I believe, of people who come to know the Lord is that they, many of them, immediately become quite self-righteous. If they live for a month or two or three without gross sin in their life, they become very self-righteous, and they start looking at those that have sin in their life as not worthy of salvation. In other words, they forget where they came from. And so this is a sin in itself. It's a gross miscalculation. It's a gross misjudgment of the heart and the passion and the mercy of God. God doesn't care how much sin a person has in their life. He doesn't care how much iniquity is in their life. God's plan is for every single person. Drug dealers, prostitutes, people that are liars, stealers, people that are practicing witchcraft. It doesn't matter how deep in sin or how deep in the plan of the devil people are walking. God wants to bring them out of that. He wants to bring them to a place of knowledge of Jesus Christ. He wants to bring them to a place of the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. That is God's plan. And beloved, if you're not in agreement with that, if you are a born-again believer and you are not in agreement with God's plan to bring every single person out of their gross sin, out of their iniquity, out of their prostitution, out of their pornography addiction. If you're not in agreement with that, you're not in agreement with the plan of God, and you're just the same as Jonah, who is mad at God because God gave all of these people who Jonah esteemed in his own mind, who Jonah judged in his own mind, not worthy of the grace and the mercy of God. And so Jonah's trying to justify to God why he ran the other way, why he ran to Tarshish. He's trying to justify to God his own rebellion against the plan of God in his life. And so he says, "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me." Jonah was begging God to take his life from him because he was so angry he couldn't even see to live to the next day. Well, that's a pretty pathetic situation, and it isn't a good situation for any of us to be in. And so then the Lord speaks to Jonah in a very gentle way, as God always does. And the Lord said, "Is it right for you, Jonah, to be angry?" And then Jonah went out of the city, and he sat on the east side of the city, and there he made for himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. Jonah wasn't interested in fellowship with the people of Nineveh, even though at this point in time they were all born-again believers just like he was. He wasn't interested in fellowship with them. He was still expecting God to do something in terms of some type of punishment for the people of Nineveh. And so many times we desire punishment when God desires mercy. And so that is something we need to get out of our heart. God is a merciful God. He's a loving God, and he has a grace that no one deserves for them, and a grace for you, and a grace for me that we don't deserve. And so we need to get out of our heart this idea that people need to be punished by God, because God is a merciful and a graceful God. The only unforgivable sin is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and that is delivered, that punishment for that sin is delivered at the end of a person's life. When you take your last breath, if you are not a born-again believer, if you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are guilty of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You have lied against the Holy Spirit, against the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, because you don't believe you have sin. And at that point in time, then you are blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. You are lying against the power of the Holy Spirit. And so at that time, then the judgment on your life is delivered, and you will spend eternity separated from God in a place of eternal damnation, a place of eternal fire and darkness, where the worm never dies and the fire never goes out. And so that place then is delivered at the time of your death. And so we need to get this idea of the punishment out of our hearts, out of our life, the punishment that we need to extract in the place of God, some kind of punishment on the people, who we don't deem worthy of salvation. Well, I'm going to turn here to Matthew chapter 20. This is a story of the landowner who was looking for laborers in to work in his vineyard. This is Matthew chapter 20. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius," or that's a day's wage, "he sent them into the vineyard. And then he went out in the third hour and he hired laborers. And then he went out in the sixth hour and he hired laborers. And then he went out again in the ninth hour and he hired laborers. And then he went out in the 11th hour and hired laborers." And so each time he sent them to work in the vineyard, and when it came time for the pay to be given to the workers, to the laborers, he paid them all the same. Well, of course, some were very upset about that. Some didn't like that idea, and he said, the landowner said, take what is yours. This is verse 14 in Matthew 20. Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to the last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do as I wish with my own things? Is your eye evil because I am good? And this could be said of Jonah. Is your eye evil because I am good? And so the last will be first, Jesus said, verse 16, the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. And so the Lord's mercies are made new every day. The people, the laborers who came into the vineyard at the 11th hour received the same pay as those who were out there early in the morning. Beloved, those who make a confession of faith on their deathbed with their last dying breath, they receive the salvation reward, the same reward as those who have been laboring in the vineyard since early in the morning. And this is just the mercy of God, and He can do it because He is a sovereign God. He is Almighty God, and He can give His mercy. He can give His grace. He can give His salvation in the way that He wants, because Jesus died the payment for the sin of every single person on the face of the earth has already been paid. Jesus died on the cross for the worst sinner, and He died on the cross for the worst prostitute and people who have been selling drugs their whole life. Jesus died on the cross for them, and when they come into the kingdom, when they repent of their wicked ways, then they receive the reward as same as a person who has been living a righteous and a holy life and been living the way God wants him to live. And that is just the mercy of the Lord. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22 says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Well, the Lord's mercies are made new every morning, and we are not consumed. None of us get what we deserve from the Lord. We don't know what day or what time our day on this earth is up, but none of us get what we deserve. Beloved, I urge you, if you're not born again, I urge you to get born again, confess your sins, repent, confess your sins, turn to the Lord. His mercies are made new every morning, and you will then be walking in the glory of God. You will then have the Holy Spirit of the living God, the Creator God, to abide with you. And beloved, that is where you want to be today. And if you don't receive it today, don't assume that you're going to be around tomorrow to receive it. I hope you will, but you may not. I may not be around tomorrow either, but I have no fear of death, and I'm not worried about my eternal life or my eternal salvation. I've taken care of that, and I've been living with the Lord now and enjoying that place of salvation, that place of sanctification. I've been enjoying that for many years now, and the same can be said of you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's go on in verse 6. In Jonah, and the Lord prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah. Jonah's sitting outside of the city now, watching to see what's going to happen. And the Lord prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. And so Jonah was grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a storm, and it damaged the plant, and the plant withered. And so it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And so this is the second time in this short time frame. This is the second time that Jonah is wishing that he could die. And beloved, if you have any kind of a death wish, if you have a suicide wish out there, I pray for you today. Get in touch with me. I can continue to pray for you. Get in touch with me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, if you have thoughts of suicide. Beloved, this is not God's will. His will is that you walk in peace, you walk in tranquility, you walk in the blessing that He has for you. And it's not premature death, it's not to premature suicide, it's not to prematurely take your own life in your own hands or even wish that you would die. This is the second time because Jonah is so messed up in his mind, he can't see another Nineveh on the horizon. He can't see another village on the horizon to go preach to. And beloved, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you walk in the Spirit, and you carry the Lord with you, you carry the Holy Spirit with you, when you walk in that Spirit, you will start to see things that God has for you to do. You will not be sitting around wishing you could die or wishing your life would end prematurely. You will have such a fulfilled life. You will be excited to see each day come. You will be excited to know what God's plan for you is, what His next step for you is, what His next phase for you is, and who are the next people that He wants you to preach to or speak to or pray for, whatever it is God has for you. You'll be excited to see that next day coming. And so Jonah is here in a miserable place. He's miserable. He can't rejoice because the people of Nineveh have been saved. And then God said to him, God's going to lay the wood to him here just a little bit in verse 9. God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you, Jonah, to be angry about the plant?" And Jonah said, "Yes, it's right for me to be angry, even to death." And so Jonah is wallowing in his misery. He's wallowing in his anger. He can't see anything good about the situation as it has just occurred. He can't see anything good about the people of Nineveh coming to a place of salvation. And beloved, I used to preach in the prisons there in Kansas and other states, and I can't tell you, I talked to many people about coming into the prison, and many, many times people would say, "No, I can't forgive those people. I have no desire to go in and speak to them. I just can't forgive those people. I can't find a place in my heart to forgive those people. I just want to see them locked up in that cell, throw the key away, and have no compassion or no desire to communicate with them or share anything with them about the gospel." Well, beloved, that is a really poor attitude. That is the Jonah attitude. God's plan, even for those people locked up for their whole life, even for those people on death row, God's plan for them is to come to know Him. The mercies of the Lord are made new every day. That doesn't mean you open up the gate and let them run out. They still have to suffer consequences for their sin, for their crime, for their wayward ways. But beloved, God's plan is for them, and I hope this message is going into the prison today. I hope this message is reaching the ears of some people out there today that need to know Jesus Christ or that need some hope and need some encouragement in their life, that this message would also encourage those who are locked up. Well, the Lord says to angry Jonah, to miserable Jonah, the Lord says, verse 10, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not have pity on Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" Well, the Lord had invested a lot in Nineveh. They were His creation. Beloved, the Lord has invested a lot in you. You are His creation. You are made in the image of God. And it doesn't matter what you are doing today. It doesn't matter how trapped in sin you are today. Maybe you're a drug addict. Maybe you are in prison. Maybe you are trapped in porn addiction. It doesn't matter where you are today. God has a plan for your life, and He had a plan for Nineveh. He had a plan for those 120,000 people. That was probably just the men of the city, so the whole city may have been 300,000, 400,000, 500,000. God's plan for them was that those people would come to know Him and come to a place of salvation, and they would be redeemed, because God's plan for them was great and much greater than what Jonah could imagine in his own little life. Well, beloved, I hope this message hits home with you. ask yourself, what are you doing to further the gospel? Are you like Jonah and want to run the other way whenever God calls you to do something? Or are you like the Jonah that went and preached to Nineveh, repented of his wicked ways, but was still angry at God and still not wanting God to show his mercy and his kindness to those in Nineveh? I pray that you get a heart for the lost. I pray that you get a passion for salvation. If you can't go, if you can't come, at least give money so that those that want to go, those that have a desire to go and a heart to go, that they can go. Because it takes money to get on airplanes, it takes money to buy food for children, it takes money to buy Bibles. And so if you can't go, at least let loose of some of your money so that those that want to go can go and they can accomplish the mission the Lord has for them. Well, I hope you enjoyed this message. Stay tuned for contact information. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to see a contribution from you so we can get those children in school. We can keep these radio broadcasts going. You can be a part of this ministry. He who sends and he who goes receives the same reward. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.